You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
On TV.
ENN, tonight, it's brought to you by our good friends at Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalesian.
Come get some!
Yeah!
I'd like to start off tonight's ENN by saying good evening to my good friend Michael.
You got me on tape, baby.
And to Michael.
I don't need to throw for you in underwear.
And to Michael.
I just care about peeper.
And to Don.
Michael gives a pinstripe report. A bunch of people see open lines and go, I'm not even sure what I was doing there, but
sound.
I'm proud of it.
Good evening to Don.
Don, keep swinging the pin.
And good evening to Bob in Warwick.
Let's go to Bob in Warwick. Bob.
Oh, this will be good. Hey, Bob. Oh, he's peeing on the air. That's what we're getting?
You know, you're so afraid of a work. Sometimes they work.
It's making a run.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. So the guy Bob had called earlier. See, the reason I don't think it's a work, Don, is because, like, don't you think, based on what you know, Anthony, about Bob, that it's real?
Yeah, I think Bob's got a lot. The third time he called, I said, we can't put you on again. He goes, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I don't think you do.
No.
I don't think he knows
what's going on. Now, Peter, we talked about this yesterday, and we're really interested to get your thoughts. We are going to reveal the Drop Madness bracket at a remote on the 15th of March.
On the 5th of February?
Which I
Cinco de Mayo?
Which is the Ides of March when we're going to do it. Should the cutoff be the previous Friday, or should he be cutting drops right up until that Thursday?
I think he has to go till Thursday, because normally we would, in previous years, the Drop Madness lineup came out the following Wednesday. It was the Wednesday before the tournament that we unleashed and unsheathed. So now, I feel like, Don, you kind of at least got to go up through the previous Thursday.
You know, I thought maybe cut it off on that Friday, but that's 4 days of potential drops that would be lost forever, because if they're not eligible for this year's, it's unfair to make them eligible for the following year's.
Well, that's what I've been doing. I've been doing it the day after I stopped tracking for this year. They're eligible for the next year.
And, yeah, I think that's the way to go. We have to discuss more.
As long as good karma is good with it, I'm good. Because we have a lot of, we're coordinating a lot. That we have some good things in store this year. So
what do you mean?
Well, they helped me in putting it together more so than they did in years previously. So if they need a little bit more time to get everything ready, we might have to cut it off a little
early. You mean in terms of, like, presenting?
I'm talking about not only presenting the possibility of where you can vote. There's a lot going on.
Wow. Okay.
He gave us a little sneak peek into, like, what he does. Like, what did you have, like, 140 for each bracket and then trimmed it down to 70?
It was like 70 plus for each bracket, knocked it down to like 36 each now, and I've gotten a top 16, and I'm working on seeding and anything that can
come
in.
Yeah, but I hate to do this.
Sure, anything you want.
I mean, Don, with all due respect to Anthony, should it just be Anthony? He's just combing through this.
Well, these are wasn't it just Andrew?
No. And even so, I don't think that's right. I mean, he's just not here anymore. He's no longer with us. With the show, that is. With the show. But, like, don't you think maybe when he gets the number whittled down, at least to seating, if not to just before that, maybe he should at least be sitting with Jacob and Tom and coming together as a group? And
I think there should be other...
A committee.
At that point. There should be a committee. You're the ultimate judge, Anthony. And I love what you've done so far. But get some help on the seating.
I'd love
to have
help.
Talk to Tom. Talk to Jacob.
I think you know what it should be? I think... Next week, I know any idea I come up with, we'll probably find out from the powers that be that there needs to be a whole conversation and people need to be involved. If it were up to me, Don, and it was we were just having fun with it, what I would say is, Anthony, so now you're saying you're down to, at this moment, 64 drops?
So here's the thing. Once I whittle it down to 36, I now have them crossed out under the... Like, I have a whole Word document. I have my 16, and the ones that didn't make the cut, I have under it. Just in case, and I was going to bring in Jacob and Tom and say, hey, guys, what do you think of this? Here's some that I was considering.
So you have 36 in each region, you're saying?
Something around there. 36 to 40 in each region, and I've gotten 16 that I think are going to make the tournament.
I think Jacob and Tom and Anthony should all sit down, the three of them, Don, and do a podcast with those drops and go through them all and chat through it. That, to me, would be fun.
I agree.
Just,
I'd like
just
to be involved,
idea.
But I don't think it's fair to if we're involved.
You
we're
know,
like the teams, right?
I mean, well, not really. I mean, you take it personally, Don. You like to win this thing as if it's your, you know, this is a victory for you. This is a feather in the cap. What won last year? I don't even remember what wins year to year. I know Don won for like four straight. Has Don ever lost?
Don lost, yes.
I lost last year.
What won last year?
Let me double check.
I'm glad to know. By the way, it's just like the real college basketball tournament to me. The second it's over, I have no memory of what even happened.
You go through, you live and die with it, and then the second it's over.
Who won? I'm like, Arizona. North Carolina.
No Michael K won last year from Don. It was the year before. I think it was the Greeny outro year.
Yeah, I knew there was a year. I've won three. I think I've won, what, three of the four?
So on the page that we have, the winners are Don's We Know, Don, Look at This Garbage, Don, How Many Chances You Get, Don, Eric Weddle, Don, Stench and Mamaroneck. 2 years ago, it was Michael's awkward ending with Greeny. And then last year, it was No Michael K.
So this is
no
our
Michael
eighth?
K.
That's what
this
it looks like based on this.
Drop Madness?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, Peter, that's... That, well, did you think that it was means, eight?
You know what that means, my... what's your name?
Don.
You know that I came in 2015. Except in the fall. That means we did one in March 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. No. So the next year. So we started in March. I was here for a year, and then we did the first Drop Madness.
So
and
March done it every 2017. Year since. So the Drop Madness is older than the kids. I remember the first year it came down, and you were like on the floor. Like, you couldn't believe who won. Like, this is, listen, we're good. Eight of them, man.
More Drop Madness stats if you're interested.
Yeah, please. I love the stats on Drop Madness.
3 1 seeds, 2 2 seeds, a 4 seed, and a 5 seed.
That's not
and,
bad.
And just to be clear, go over them one more, the winners all time one more time.
So the first one ever was a 2 seed out of the Don LaGreca region, We Know.
We Know! Yep.
Shout out to Jose Reyes. The next year, 2-seeded Don LaGreca, Look at This Garbage.
Look at this garbage! All right, two
next
for two
year,
on Don screaming.
Upset City, 5-seed Don.
How many chances you get? But it's still Don screaming. It's so still Don screaming. 3 years, it's Don yelling. And this was when Michael and I were very big on the only way to win is if you're Don yelling. All right, year four.
Year four was, some would argue, the greatest drop in K-Show history.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
So, not yelling, just stupidity.
Not yelling. No. And by the way, not only does it hold up that it still makes me laugh out loud, how often do we reference it? We still say former Raven.
It might be the greatest drop of all time. Yeah, so
no, I think it is. It's the
I had an Islander streak of four straight.
Yeah.
Make it five.
You're on Islanders. Okay, year five.
Because the 4 seed, which is what I parlayed into running the show, Stench.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
So Don goes with 3 years of screaming and then wins with back-to-back stupidity.
Right, although that was not my
stupidity. It was my stupidity, unfortunately.
It was not your fault.
But there was stupidity. It just wasn't my stupidity. And on the first one, much to his chagrin, Andrew Gunley gets an assist on the stupidity. Not by his stupidity, but like he's feeding. He said L.A., and for whatever reason, I picked Chargers over
So Rams. Don with producers 2 years in a row. And then, of course, one of the greatest K-drops of all time. It didn't even happen on this show. One
No.
seed.
Crazy.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
All right, be well. You say hello, too.
Okay, take care, Michael. It's Michael K. with me here.
Honestly, what happened inside of his head?
I don't know, man, but he was very disappointed to win that. It's the first time Michael ever won something, and he was
And I remember in down the stretch, I believe it was the final four matchup, I think there was like a good shot it could have lost, and Michael desperately wanted it to lose, but it went on. All right, so that was the 1 year Don didn't win. Then what was after that?
And then the universe restored order, because one day, Michael wasn't here, and someone called, and Don said this.
No, Michael K. And that was last year.
And that was last year.
And here we are. Wow. And now it's the first day of March. If you're wondering why we're going over it, because it's officially March Madness month. And we are preparing.
Still doing it. You know, the way the shows have been recently, there could be a champion that can be born within the next few days.
No, I mean, I would argue this Dave drop today, depending on how the audience feels, I know how I feel about it. This day, let's hear the Dave drop from today.
First day, tongue in your...
Eventually, yeah.
No, sorry. I apologize. I'm looking at the wrong thing in my clip. His name wasn't Dave. His name was Bob.
Let's go to Bob in Warwick. Bob.
Oh, this will be good. Hey, Bob. Oh, he's peeing on the air. That's what we're getting?
I got to tell you, this year, the nether region is the hardest it's ever been since I've been doing it.
Hey, yo.
Good for you.
That's unfortunate.
That was unfortunate. I believe you, and that just added to it. I mean, to me, Don, what makes it great is that you have to understand what was happening with the Bob call. Bob is like a definition, with all due respect, old, boring Yankee curmudgeon, okay? Right. He called once. Michael tried to answer. This is how much Michael loves to get a Yankee call. He goes to answer Bob. Bob's not there. Classic, just five hellos, not there. Michael's annoyed, hangs up. But then Bob calls again, which is why, Don, if you're wondering, because today, for some reason, I've had the Zoom up. I've been looking at all the calls all day. So when I saw Bob up there again and I see Michael go to Bob again, that's why I comment, oh, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because I'm already mocking that the first call was bad. And then to get, well, can we just hear it one more time with the scene set?
Let's go to Bob in Warwick. Bob.
Oh, this will be good. Hey, Bob. Oh, he's peeing on the air. That's what we're getting? I think that's special. That could be a one seed to me.
You might help. I think you help it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, it almost deserves a Peter region, but I don't care where it is.
Well, remember, we don't have that anymore.
Oh, yeah. What? This would be this has to be nether,
I guess. It's nether region. It could be troubling, but I think it has to go into the nether region.
A lot of times the nether region is troubling. You know what I mean?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, guys, tough loss for the New York Knickerbockers last night, 110-99 against the Warriors at MSG, behind 31 points from Steph Curry. Let's hear from Jalen Brunson, not trying to dwell on the loss to the Warriors.
We're on to Cleveland, for sure. We clearly need to be better. We could definitely learn from our past, but we don't want to dwell on it. We can be upset, pissed off the rest of today until we fall asleep but tomorrow morning, and then we got to be focused on the next one. Keep our spirits up, keep our confidence up, knowing that we all really work hard individually to be confident. Just come in the next day, be ready to go, and just keep trusting each other. Just keep chipping away. Can't hit home runs all the time. You guys keep hitting singles.
Speaking of pissed off, let's go to Bob in Warwick. No, it's not. Let's go to Isaiah Hartenstein, who believes that in spite of all the injuries, this team could still be winning games.
We're confident, everybody. I mean, I feel like even we had a little stretch. Even after that, we were still playing good. Then after that, we had more injuries. And then we had a whole bunch of guys out of certain lineups and then you had games where it was close at the end. I mean, the Houston was close. And then so you have those games. And then now this last couple of stretches been a little tougher. But we have enough guys here confident in that until everyone comes back.
I mean, hold my beer, Tom, Sleepy Tom Bobo. Lord, Isaiah, that was...
Yeah, that's a little rough.
That was a tough cut right there.
So here's what we're looking at. Right now, the Knicks, if you want to just go by loss column, because not everybody's played the same amount of games, the Knicks are 4 losses back of Milwaukee for third. So that's starting to look, I don't want to say insurmountable, but the Bucks have won 4 in a row. Looks like they're starting to figure it out under Doc Rivers. And they're 5 back at the Cavaliers. That makes the game on Sunday big, but the game's in Cleveland, Peter.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So they're tied in losses with the Sixers.
I think it's an ESPN vehicle, by the way.
Yes.
National TV, yeah.
That's right. The Magic are just a game back in the loss column. Pacers a game back. Heat a game back. So if they lose to Cleveland, and then we'll see what happens with the Magic. You know, you could be talking about a team that when we reconvene on Monday, Peter, could be sitting there as the 6th seed, trying not to fall into the 7th seed. Now they come back and play Atlanta. And that's certainly a winnable game, but you know the way they played against Detroit, can you confidently say, no. As banged up as they are, and with Hartenstein and Brunson not playing at 100%, that any game is guaranteed to them?
No, how could anything be guaranteed? How at this point, it just can't.
Yeah, and then after the game against Atlanta, they've got Orlando. And then back-to-back games against Philadelphia. You don't think the Sixers want a piece of the Knicks after losing the last 2 games to them? I'm not saying they're going to lose both of those games. It's a very strange schedule, Peter, that they're playing the Sixers back-to-back games at the Garden. And then you get to go west. Now it's Portland, Sacramento, but you're going out west. This team is going to take a lot of heavy lifting to stay out of the play-in before these guys get back. And there's only 22 games left in the season.
I'm hearing from multiple people that our Bob drop was muted or edited on Yes. Is that true? That's what's been said.
I don't know if they have the technology to do that.
I don't know how they did it. Interesting.
We're sorry.
Well,
I've never.
The seeming sound of urination is a.
I didn't know it was a game changer. They never told us.
Well, guess what? I'm sorry. We'll have to deal with it.
Does that affect the seeding? Should we not have it in Drop Madness because of our relationship with Yes?
It can't. It can't be affected. No one said anything to me. But, I mean, if it has to be edited for television, it does. But it's not breaking any of the seven words. I mean, Yes is cable, by the way. They could have outright nudity. We could do HOC radio, Don. They could do whatever they want on
Well, I was told I want to reveal my source. They're just trying to be careful. I think we're
appreciate
okay as long as we don't overdo it. I think we did overdo it just a little bit.
Well, today we have.
In this particular segment, but I think it'll be okay for Drop Madness, but we should isolate it a little bit more. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe a little bit. Yeah. No, I agree. It was important in the moment, though, that we celebrate it. That was a very important moment in my life. Staying with the NBA for a second, let's hear LeBron James. He's on the doorstep of 40,000 points. What would it mean for you, Bron?
No one has ever done it. For me to be in this position at this point in time in my career, I think it's pretty cool. Does it sit like one of the top of my things I've done in my career? No, but does it mean something? Of course, absolutely. Why wouldn't it? To be able to accomplish things in this league, the greatest players to ever play in this league, the NBA, and this has been a dream of mine, and to hit feats and have milestones throughout my career, they all mean something to me. Absolutely. Obviously, there's a pecking order of which ones is higher than others, but yeah, absolutely. I would be lying to you if I said no, it doesn't mean anything, because it absolutely does.
All right, now, so when will it happen? On national TV tomorrow, Lakers hosting the Nuggets. So Mike Breen will have another opportunity to call something legendary. Wow. As my guess would be in the first half tomorrow, LeBron James will reach 40,000 points. He's sitting at 39,991. Of course, he surpassed Kareem's 38,000, Karl Malone's 36, Kobe's 33, and Michael Jordan's 32,000.
So, for people to understand, he's already the all-time leading scorer, so obviously no one's got to 40,000, but that's a pretty amazing accomplishment, and to be able to do it on national television and doing it at 38 and still on top of his game. He outscored the Clippers the other night to come back from 21 points down in the fourth, wins again the next night.
Now, by the way, here's an important thing to, I think, include in the LeBron story, too. LeBron has surpassed Karl Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he's played less games than both. He still played two games less than Karl Malone. Karl Malone played 1476.
Now, Kareem didn't have the three-pointer until 79.
Well, but even if he did, Kareem wasn't going to be knocking down.
No, I get. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So it's kind of a real. I mean, but Kareem played 1,560. But of course, it does matter because he didn't have the option, and LeBron did. So it's
yeah. Because would he have changed his game if it was, you know, that option? And now, not only is it an option, it's the way you score now.
In case you're wondering, and you want to be specific, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was 1-for-18 from 3-point of all time.
No, but I think it wasn't a thing. Obviously, it didn't exist for half of his career. And then when it came into the league, I don't know. There was probably Tonka truck to them. They didn't know what to do with it. Now it's become like a major part of the game. I would think Kareem would have adjusted to be better at it than he was. But you're right. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. LeBron was still blown by him.
How crazy is it that Larry was such a great three-point shooter at the time? It was considered such a thing. And remember, it came in basically with Larry. A couple years later? Or Larry was 649 for 1727. To put it in perspective for you, I'm looking at the point total list. Gary Payton, who you don't even think of as a three-point shooter in that way, made 500 more than Larry Bird did.
Wow.
It was just such a wildly different game.
So I think the conversation now becomes, from the longevity standpoint, has he surpassed Brady? Now, the sports are different. Brady played till he was 47, winning championships deep into his mid-40s, but the game basically allowed him to do that because you can't touch quarterbacks and you don't play as much as a basketball player playing north of 40 minutes every other night.
Well, so real quick, before we analyze the Brady, just one more stat that Don is insane. Larry Bird played 897 games. He attempted 1,700 three-pointers. Okay. All right. Steph Curry has played only 40 more games than Larry Bird. Steph Curry has played in 937 games. He has attempted 8,500 three-pointers. It's literally such a different sport. It's insane.
Well, let me ask you this, all right, because we talked about Gordie Howe and playing until he was 53. Listen, Gordie Howe played at 51, actually, in the NHL, scored 41 points. That's amazing. All right, but then he spent a lot of years in the WHA, which is NHL adjacent. But what's more impressive, what LeBron James is doing right now at 38 or Gordie Howe at 40 having 103 points? 44 goals, 59 assists at 40.
It's right in the same conversation.
And played in all 76 games. You know, and then,
that's insane. I mean, the fact that it's hockey makes it insane.
At 41, he had 71 points. At 42, he had 52, and then he retired. But, you know, still, that's pretty incredible. But that's the conversation we're having with LeBron James. Not only is he one of the greatest players ever to play, we're having a conversation from the longevity with Gordie Howe and Tom Brady.
That will do it for ENN, brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Dodge Power Shot Days, Jeep Celebration Event, and Ram Truck Month. We've had a great week. We're going to run it back all weekend. That's right. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Daniel Craig, take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.